local news is in a crisis. Local newspapers are closing. Other newsrooms are being gutted. We've reported on what's been happening here in Colorado. The closure several years ago of the Rocky Mountain News. The layoffs at the Denver Post. Well, a new report by PEN America takes a look at some of the issues, but it also identifies solutions. That report is Losing the News, the Decimation of Local News and the Search for Solutions. And it'll be discussed at a special event tomorrow evening at the Denver Public Library. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Victoria Vilk with PEN. She spearheaded the report. Good morning, Victoria. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Maeve. Thanks for having me.
Well, Denver was part of this report. It is a national look, and we're going to take a look at what is happening nationally. But why was Denver selected to be part of this?
So from the beginning when we started this report, we felt it was absolutely critical to include the voices of seasoned local journalists who are watching this issue play out on the ground across the country. And so we commissioned reporters in three states, in Colorado, Michigan, and North Carolina, to talk about what was happening. And we chose Denver because it's really actually a microcosm of what's happening to local journalism in major cities across the country. Exactly as you were just saying, you have a city that's growing rapidly economically and in terms of population and development, and yet just over 10 years ago, you had two legacy papers with over 500 reporters. Today, there's one major legacy paper with about 70 reporters. And so we've seen what the impact of consolidation and of hedge fund ownership actually does to at least to newspapers in a community. At the same time, there's been extraordinary innovation and adaptation happening all across the city in Denver and actually across the state. There are outlets that once competed that are now collaborating. There are phenomenal digital native and nonprofit outlets cropping up across the city and the state. Public libraries are getting involved. But there are still open questions about the sustainability of some of these initiatives long term and what happens when people have to go to a dozen sources to get their news and pay for several of those sources. So we'll be talking about all of that tomorrow at the Denver Public Library at 6 p.m. with the Colorado Media Project. And I hope folks can join us.
Well, we'll give out more details about that event in just a moment. But as you said, Victoria, Denver is really a microcosm of what's happening nationally. So how does this fit into the national landscape? What are we seeing in other cities, and particularly ones of maybe comparable size to the Denver metro area?
So when we started working on this report, we thought that we would really be focused on a handful of places that were what we thought were news deserts, right? Places where newspapers had completely shut down, where there were maybe no local sources of information anymore, at least local professional sources of journalism. But what we found is that this issue is actually playing out in rural communities, small towns, and major cities across the country, and there are real parallels everywhere with what's happening. So essentially what's happening is that the business model for local journalism is collapsing. It costs money, as you folks know, and everyone knows, it costs money to produce high-quality investigative reporting and watchdog reporting. It used to be, even, you know, relatively recently, that news outlets used ads, they sold ads to make money to make that possible. But as folks have gone to the internet increasingly to get their news and to get their content, tech giants like Google and Facebook are now siphoning the majority of that ad revenue that used to sustain investigative reporting. And what that means is that newspapers in particular have been hit very hard. In just 15 years, newspapers have lost $35 billion in ad revenue and nearly 50% of staff. Over 2,000 newspapers across the country have closed, and over 1,000 more are ghost papers, so they're not able to produce much original reporting anymore. And the reason that matters is that if you think of local news as an ecosystem with TV, radio, social media, newspapers, and other outlets, newspapers are still producing a major part of the watchdog reporting that's so vital to our communities and to our democracy. And so when we lose them, we lose that critical function.
Well, let's talk about some of the recommendations that you outline in this report, because funding is such a huge part of this. As you said, it is expensive, particularly to do the type of investigative journalism, but really any news reporting needs some type of funding. Now, obviously, you're speaking right now on a community radio station that has been listener-supported for more than four decades. That's a relatively new model for newspapers, yet we are seeing some online papers here in Colorado stepping into that realm. So in terms of the funding and the recommendations that you outline in your report, what are some of the funding alternatives that you're recommending that could really be long-term sustainable for supporting a local news and infrastructure?
So we actually are arguing in this report that the time has come to in this country radically shift how we think of local journalism from purely a commercial product that you buy and sell to a public good that is a service that is so vital to communities and to democracy that it deserves public protection and support. And it actually requires collaboration between governments, tech companies, civil society organizations like ours, and of course the public. And news organizations. So, of course, reader revenue and audience revenue is critical, and a lot of outlets are building that out in the absence of ad revenue or the decline of ad revenue. But what we're arguing is that we actually need a major influx of philanthropic funding. Foundations have really been leading the way recently in terms of funding local journalism, but a lot of that funding is still concentrated on the coasts. It's leaving behind rural communities, communities of color, and other communities that have really been hit the hardest by this crisis. So we need more philanthropic funding, but we also need more robust public support from the state and from the federal at the federal level. And there are various ways that that can be achieved, but we think that that's really a critical next step.
I think when people hear, gosh, we have these foundations and different organizations are now stepping in to fund news, for certain people that might raise some alarms, you know, in terms of editorial independence. But you address this in your report to say that absolutely editorial independence needs to be not just, you know, valued, but really prioritized. Take us through that.
So, you know, we thought a lot about this question of editorial independence as we looked at new sources of funding or sources of funding that have actually always been there but that need to be expanded to address this kind of reality of the collapse of this business model. And to be honest, there is no pure source of funding. When funding was purely coming from advertising, there had to be firewalls between advertising teams and editorial teams, and that's going to have to continue to happen regardless of where the source of funding is coming from. So we've been encouraging foundations to really prioritize the editorial independence of the institutions that they are now investing money in, and any kind of public support mechanism is going to have very strong barriers between the source of funding and editorial, and that's just a kind of vital component of any kind of professional journalism and ethical journalism.
Well, what about the role of the federal government? Because certainly from a broadcast perspective, we certainly see this play out in other countries. Ireland, where I'm from, we have a national broadcaster that is supported, essentially through taxpayer money, a licence fee, the same model really that the BBC has. And we see that in other countries as well. The federal government hasn't really stepped into news here, except the FCC. There is some federal, very, very small amount of federal money can go to public broadcasting. What's the role of the federal government in this?
So we see several aspects of the role of federal government. So one important aspect is actually protecting localism, diversity, and competition in local journalism. That is actually one of the main mandates of the FCC, and yet it really hasn't been living up to its mandate. In fact, in the last several years under Ajit Pai, under the current commissioner, the FCC has actually been rolling back rules that are meant to stem the tide of consolidation. See what I mean? So they're actually making it more possible for major conglomerate consolidation across the industry, and that's a problem. But we also feel that it's important to think a little bit about the historical and, of course, as you said, the international context for public support of local journalism, because actually the United States, what we don't realize is that the United States has subsidized journalism since 1792 in the form of tax subsidies, in the form of postal subsidies, tax breaks, and government ads. It's just that we support journalism here at a rate that's something like 30 times less than many of the high-income democracies in the rest of the world. And in fact, if you look at five of the countries with the that are consistently ranked as being the highest in terms of press freedom, they are also the five countries that invest the most in public support of local journalism. So it's clearly possible there are models out there that we can look at, but it's, you know, it's high time here in the States that we prioritize and support our local journalism.
Well, there is a lot in this report. It is called Losing the News, the Decimation of Local Journalism and the Search for Solutions. It's put together by PEN America, and we're going to put a link to that at our website, kgnu.org. And people have an opportunity to really take a deeper dive into this and how it's playing out locally here in Colorado at this event that's happening at the Denver Public Library on West 14th Avenue Parkway, so right downtown, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. It is tomorrow evening, and the there will be a discussion of really what has been happening here in Colorado and some of the solutions that we've talked about here this morning. So we do invite people to hear more about that. This event is happening tomorrow evening, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Denver Public Library. We'll put a lot more information about that and about this report online at news.kgnu.org. Victoria Vilk with PEN America, thank you so much for being with us this morning on KGNU.